Welcome to the Sportscast, October 2nd, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Read your Bible on your iPhone. Auburn versus Florida, the biggest game for this weekend, and the determination which one will stay undefeated in a rough and tough SEC. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about Gator football, Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
And Diego, I am chomping at the bit, literally and figuratively, for this game.
This is the biggest game of the weekend. You know, both Florida and Auburn, they're pretty ranked pretty close. Auburn is at number 7, and Florida is at 10. How significant is this game?
Oh, it's huge. I think, you know, Auburn has probably played a tougher schedule than Florida right now. You get that win against a very good Oregon team in the opening week, and then you go to Texas A&M and get a victory. So they're a little bit more seasoned than the some of the games, but I mean, when you look at the schedule in the preseason, you kind of expected both teams to be undefeated, and that's what they are. You didn't expect Kyle Trask to be going, and some people didn't expect to have this much success as it started as a freshman for Auburn, but both teams are very good on both sides of the ball, and it should be a very entertaining game Saturday.
Auburn has played 4 good to terrific teams that will all go bowling. Florida struggled against Miami with its freshman quarterback playing in his first game and survived Kentucky with his backup quarterback. The Tigers are playing with swagger. They're improving each week, and the Lions are doing a good enough job to hold their own against the tough Florida Gator front. Do you think the Gators can handle Auburn?
Here's the way, as a Gator fan, I'm trying to be optimistic here a little bit, but I mean, if you know anything about SEC football, you know how good the Auburn defensive line was going this year, and they have, met the expectations and more. Derek Brown, Marlon Davidson up front are huge. Could have been NFL first or second rounders, but came back this year that prove something, so what's Florida's biggest weakness? Their offensive line. They've had trouble against most teams, even the FCS teams they played, running the ball. So a lot will depend probably on the arm of Kyle Trask if Florida wants to win this game.
Kyle Trask obviously is a substitute for Felipe Franks. How do you think about Kyle Trask so far?
Oh, it's kind of what I expected. He's very accurate at the ball. Knows where to go with it. He doesn't have a huge arm, but you give him time, he's going to make the play. Last week, he didn't have huge stats, but where he was is, set the Florida completion record to start a game, 15 straight completions, I throw 15 completions against Air Santiago, and I think most people would fail at it. So even, I know it wasn't against the greatest team in the world, Townsend, but, it's still, still complete 15 passes in a college football game in a row is, something to be, not to be laughed at. Florida's got depth at wide receiver. And one thing that Kyle Trask has been, that Florida's been lacking, he's been able to find a tight end, and especially Kyle Pitts.
Let's recap Florida versus Towson. Florida defeated Towson 38-0. Kyle Trask was perfect early and a spectator late. He broke a school record in between. He had no idea about how good his performance was until Coach Dan Mullen's wife told him on the field afterward. Trask threw for 2 touchdowns and ran for another, helping number 9 Florida beat lower division Towson 38-0 Saturday and extend its winning streak to 9. He has set a school record in the process.
Yeah, it's a game, it's kind of misleading. I'll go with the negative off of that. The defense had a hard, you're going to look at that score and say, wow, the defense played well. Yeah, they didn't give up any points, and that's something to be said. You know, they shut out anybody in college football these days, and that's great. But you've got to, you know, if you watch the game and you saw the first half, you know, Florida struggled on third down to get Thompson off the field. And, you know, Tom Flacco, the younger brother of Joe Flacco, the talented quarterback, you know, was able to get out of a lot of trouble. You know, they had a hard time bringing him down and had a hard time stopping the run, which is a little bit scary because if you can't stop Thompson on the run, you know, what are you going to be able to do against, you know, some of the teams that will be playing here in the next month? You know, they got things going, you know, offensively towards the end of the first half, you know, kept that momentum going on in the third quarter and kind of, you know, kind of instilled their will and wore Townsend down, you know, as the game went on. But Townsend, you know, missed two short field goals, you know, turned the ball over in the red zone. So they were, you know, they were in it, you know, yardage-wise, but, you know, Florida was able to, you know, stop them from scoring. But it did. It was tough at times, you know, to watch for sure. As a Gator fan, kind of, but you know, they were missing six starters, you know, between both sides, and four of them being on the defensive side that, you know, were clearly just resting, you know, knowing that the games they have coming up this week. So Florida will be, you know, extremely healthy. Only player they will be started, they'll be without is Kadarius Toney, who will be out for a couple more weeks, but they'll have C.J. Henderson, Zuniga back. So, you know, that's going to help out the defensive side a lot.
Towson plays for the Colonial Athletic Association. Towson is your citadel.
Yeah, you know, they gave us trouble. Like I said, you know, they played hard. You know, this is not, you know, an average FCS team. This is a very good FCS team that will probably make the playoffs this year, not in the lower level. But, you know, when you're Florida, you know, you got to – You got to show your will, and I know the games are coming up and the players are resting. It's hard, you know, you can talk a good game, but it's hard to actually go out and do that. And that's, they kind of slept walk through that game last week, but, you know, they stayed healthy, you know, they got the win, you know, and able to learn some things off of that. So I guess that's the positive.
Actually, with Towson, they beat Citadel 28-21 back in August, so they definitely have faced each other before. So who has the advantage? Auburn has a better offense, defense. Does Florida have a better offense and defense? What is the matchup we'll be looking at this Saturday?
Well, one thing, I was a little discouraged. You know, let's start with Auburn on the offensive side of Auburn, Florida on defense. Florida, again, struggled making tackles last week, you know, missing a couple of starters, which you're gonna struggle, you know. But, you know, you miss tackles against Townsend, you're gonna be able to recover. You miss tackles against Auburn. What does Auburn have on offense? They got speed. You know, Anthony Schwartz, Seth Williams, those are barn burners, Santiago. you can't miss tackles because, you know, they're gonna take it to the house. So, you know, making, you know, stopping the momentum, you know, making open field tackles is gonna be the big important point, you know, enforcing Bo Nix to throw the ball. You know, Auburn, you know, with Gus Malzahn calling plays, they're going to be crafty. They're going to throw some curveballs at you. But in the end, you want to be able to make Auburn throw the ball, you know, one-dimensional because, you know, you got a freshman quarterback in Bo Nix going into a hostile environment in the Swamp. I know he went to Texas A&M, which is 110,000 people, which is great. But the Swamp is one thing. When it's electric, and it will be electric Saturday, you know, you got that, you know, great pass rush, you know, they're going to be able to get to the quarterback, and that's going to be huge, forcing, you know, him into tough situations. But again, you know, being healthy at the cornerback position, C.J. Henderson back healthy, Marco Wilson, you know, playing better than he did early on this year. And, you know, there's Florida safeties aren't necessarily talented, but they're a little bit older, and that's going to be important for the, you know, that experience. But, you know, what Auburn is going to do, they're going to, when Auburn's successful, you know, they run the ball with, you know, Booby Whitlow, who is extremely, you know, talented, you know, and they're able to run the ball with Bo Nix. So that's, you know, stopping the run, forcing Auburn to throw the ball and gain pressure on Auburn. and making tackles. That's the key, you know, when I look at a game from Auburn having the ball.
What does Bo Nix mean to you? What type of player is he? Is he going to be a top-tier quarterback, mediocre? What does he mean to you?
You know, early on, you know, he managed the game. He didn't put up huge stats, you know. Against the comeback against Auburn, you know, he had a tough start to the game. You know, made some tough plays, crucial plays in the fourth quarter to, you know, help Auburn win that game. It wasn't pretty, and I don't think it's going to be pretty for Bo Nix. But he's a freshman, a true freshman quarterback, and, you know, he's talented. He's going to make plays with his feet. He's going to extend plays. I don't necessarily think he's going to run the ball a huge amount of time, but he's going to be able to get out of pressure and throw the ball down the field. One fun thing, you know, one of the last times that, you know, Auburn beat Florida in the Swamp, his dad, Patrick Nix, was the quarterback of Auburn.
Really? Wow. Go ahead.
So let's flip the ball to the other side of the, you know, when Florida has the ball, they're going to, you know, we've said this early on that Florida has a hard time running the ball. When Michael Pinheiro is not having a season that we all thought he was going to have, but I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, sophomore running back, Pierce gets more carries than he has been, you know, because he's been running the ball hard and just, you know, running the ball with purpose, something that, you know, that when Michael Pinheiro hasn't had this year, you know, he hasn't had any big runs. You know, Pierce has broken off a couple last couple weeks. I don't expect, you know, Michael Davis to we get a whole lot of carries. He's had trouble putting the ball on the ground. So, but like you said, this game, you know, it's going to be hard for Florida to run the ball no matter who. You know, the defensive line for Auburn is stacked, you know, with NFL talent. You know, Florida is still getting themselves together on the offensive line. They lost four starters from last year. And it looked, you know, even though they're undefeated, you know, it's great to be undefeated, but, you know, there's some holes, and that's a glaring hole for Florida. They want to be able to, you know, get to his grueling of October. They're going to have to start, you know, coming together in the offensive line. But, you know, again, it's going to come down to the arm of Kalatas. You know, him making smart plays, the receivers getting open, and, you know, they're going to run some shorter plays, and the receivers are going to have to break a couple of tackles and make some big plays. A game that I look at, you know, last year in Florida, you know, went down to Mississippi State and played the Bulldogs. Mississippi State had a great defense. You know, Florida struggled running the ball. What they did, they grinded out the game. They let the defense win that game, and I think Florida's going to do that this year. You know, Florida's not going to win a high-scoring game, but they could win a low-scoring game, you know, game played in the, you know, the teens and 20s, and that's what Florida's going to have to do to win this game.
Auburn is the most talked about team in college. Well, not the most talked about team in college football, but the most the team that people are eyeing. You know, they're a force to be reckoned with. You know, they defeated a couple of big teams like Texas A&M this past couple of weeks ago. So we're definitely looking how the potential of what Auburn's all about. What are they made of? And of course, Florida, a lot of question marks as well.
Yeah, like, you know, they won a couple of close games against Miami, Kentucky, you know, games where they had more talent than the other team, and that's what September, you know, there's a September grind into an October grind, as I would say, for the Gators. So, you know, they got this tough game at home this week, and the next week they go and play at night in Louisiana at LSU, so that, you know, that's going to be, possible to win, you know, right now going down to, you know, it's hard to win in that game down in LSU for sure. So, you know, this is why this game is so important, you know, home, defend the home field, homecoming, you know, sell out crowd. It's, you know, Auburn might have a little bit more talent than Florida. They might be a little bit more developed, but, you know, the difference, I think Florida being home is going to help Florida win this game.
Florida will play Auburn this weekend. They got LSU next weekend, October 12th at Baton Rouge, and then South Carolina should be easy, but you could say it could be hard, whatever, but I think it's easy. Then you got Georgia on November 2nd, so definitely the schedule gets a little bit tough, and you play pretty much all, you know, good medium to high level teams, you know. So this past team with Towson was definitely a preseason game to get ready for these for the next couple of weeks. And of course, Auburn has a tough schedule as well. They got Arkansas, not as hard, but mediocre SEC team. They got LSU, and then they got Ole Miss and Georgia. So you guys have similar schedules in a way.
Yeah,
level of difficulty.
The expectation is, you know, at this time, either Gus Malzahn will, you know, they'll be either doing great or he'll be out of a job. And Auburn is doing great. You know, there's a lot of pressure on Gus to win this year. That's why I took over the play calling. You know, after this week, you know, they still have a couple. Obviously, the end of the season for Auburn is tough. Auburn's odd years are their years to win because they get both Alabama and Georgia at the end of the year at home. The even number of years are the hard years for Auburn because those are the years where they have to go to Georgia and Alabama. So being in an odd year this year, if they can get through Florida, and defend their home field, they're going to, probably go to the SEC championship game.
Let's look at the ACC games. Syracuse defeated Holy Cross 41-3. Pitt defeated Delaware 17-14, only by 3 points.
Yeah, that's surprising. The funny Danny Rocco of Delaware gave Pittsburgh all they wanted to. You know, probably a little bit of a letdown after a huge win against UCF. So, but again, another black eye for the ACC. But probably good that they held on to win that game for sure.
North Carolina and Clemson. Clemson defeated North Carolina 21-20, which brought down Clemson from number one to number two. What that tells you about Clemson?
Again, obviously they're winning games. It's just not very easy. And I think there's this expectation with some of the offensive players coming back that, the team was going to average 50 points a game, and it just hasn't clicked like that. Trevor Lawrence hasn't been the same quarterback. They're not able to run the ball like we thought they were. Defense is playing good. Defense held its own and probably helped them win that game. But, they're definitely not as explosive as we thought they were going to be. But, something will click, and maybe that was that close call they needed to start turning it on. If you look at some of the seasons that Clemson, they lost 2 years ago to at Syracuse and then going to the playoffs. They lost to Pittsburgh in the year they won the playoffs. So it's not abnormal for Clemson to have these close calls and then eventually turn it up after that.
Something to definitely look at. Virginia lose against Notre Dame 25-20.
Yeah, Virginia, shot themselves in the foot with the sacks and turnovers. Yeah, it was probably a good time to play Notre Dame. Notre Dame probably wasn't at 100% after a physical game against Georgia the week before. So, Virginia took a good shot at them, but too many mistakes to beat a good Irish team on the road.
We have a comment from YouTube from Shoes5. He says, Clemson always has one game like this. Lucky to escape with the win this time, but they still have the talent and lack of schedule to make it.
Yeah. San Diego, they could go undefeated. The lack of prestige in the ACC, there's a very real possibility that they could be on the outside. Even if they go undefeated, there's somebody, as these SEC teams prove true, if Oregon runs the table, they're going to have a lot of good wins. Do I think it'll happen? No, but I think there's a possibility. They definitely can't afford a loss. One loss comes out for sure. But I think there's a real possibility this team could go 13-0 with an ACC championship game win and not make the playoffs.
Can you see three SEC teams making it to the playoffs?
No. Two at the most.
But, that's what I think. I think three is very difficult. Two for sure, could happen.
You got some huge games still left to be played in the SEC, especially the West, Santiago, LSU and Auburn, LSU and Alabama, Auburn and Georgia.
You can say Florida. Put them in the mix. Florida's definitely a great team.
They win this week. Even if they don't win in LSU, they could still go and beat Georgia and still go to the SEC championship if they win out. there's a lot to play for in the SEC for sure, and I could definitely see a team that Alabama a couple of years ago who doesn't even go to the SEC championship game, but yet still goes to the playoffs.
Yeah, something that we're definitely going to have to look at. Another game in the ACC, Boston Wake Forest defeated Boston College 27-24. Your Boston College that you thought would be a dark force.
Yeah, you know, I definitely was wrong with that, and I was wrong with that a couple weeks ago when they lost at home on a Friday night to Kansas, you know. So you lose to Kansas at home, you know, that tells you how good of a team you really are. But if there's a bright spot in the ACC, it's definitely the Wake Forest Demon Deacons off to a 5-0 start, playing well. Not always pretty, but, you know, getting the job done.
FSU defeated North Carolina State 31-13.
They needed this game, you know, and they needed this game to look good. And that it was probably good for FSU to win a game and not have to win at the end or hold on, but, you know, a game where they really dominated from start to finish.
Something to definitely look at. Looking at the AP right now, Alabama's number one, Clemson's number two, Florida's number 10, as we were talking about, and pretty much Wake Forest is number 22. They made it in the top 25.
Yeah, you know, for all the bad news we talk, you know, we talk each week, you know, and the other people on the sportscast, we talk about how, you know, low point the ACC is, but you know, Clemson isn't playing well, and we talk about, you know, one loss and they're out, or, you know, aren't even going to make it if they go undefeated because the rest of the competition. But Wake Forest is kind of a, you know, playing well. Dave Clawson's a great coach. They're an up-tempo. They're going to, you know, run a bazillion plays. It's kind of the new nature of football, but you don't see it a whole lot in the ACC and a lot of doing this crazy tempo stuff. But so they're going to put up some huge stats. You know, the schedule will be up a little bit. You know, some of the better teams at ACC, they still got to play, you know, a la Wake or Clemson later on this year. So we'll kind of see how good they really are. So that's, you know, probably the biggest team left in the ACC would be Clemson and Wake Forest.
Something to definitely look at, of course. College football still continues this weekend, of course, is Auburn, Florida. And we'll be definitely looking at that matchup very soon. Let's move on to the NFL. Neither Leonard Fournette, lingering frustration for or Jacksonville, long drought without a 100-yard rusher, showed any sign of abating Sunday when the Jaguars fell behind Denver by 2 touchdowns and Von Miller was celebrating his 100th career sack. Fournette never lost faith and finished with a career best of 225 yards on 29 carries, sparking the Jaguars to a 26-24 win on Josh Lambeau's 33-yard field goal as time expired. Gardner Minshew strikes again.
Broke my heart, Santiago. this is a game 17-3. Denver's driving late in the second half, dominating the game. You know, and Joe Flacco throws an interception. You know, Jacksonville returns it, kicks a field goal, 17-6. And then the second half, they literally just ran the ball right up, you know, right up the middle every single time against, you know, the Broncos defense. You know, go up, you know, 23-17. Broncos come back, take the lead, 24-23 on a nice drive. But then, you know, Gardner Minshew pulls one out of the hat. He makes a couple of key plays, and Denver misses a tackle, guy, you know, went down the field, and the rest is history. Josh Lambeau, you know, kicks the game-winning field goal, and Denver's two home games this season end with two heartbreaking losses at the buzzer and field goals.
The Broncos are 0-4. Not only were victimized by a last-second field goal for the second time this season, but they blew a 14-point lead at home in the loss for the first time since 2006. Broncos led by 2 touchdowns and was driving for another score just before halftime when safety Ronnie Harrison intercepted Flacco, who airmailed a pass to Emmanuel Sanders that led to Lambeau's second field goal, pulling the Jaguars to a 17-6 at the break. Next game for the Broncos is the Chargers on Sunday. What do you expect?
I guess this will tell you, know, has, you know, their professionalism, you know, season is probably going nowhere. You know, you know, you're going to go out and fight, or you're going to go and just lay down. You know, this is a team that's a lot, you know, last year also, you know, 12 games, the Broncos are 6-6, with four favorable games in the season. What's happened since then? They lost all four of those games, and then lost the first four games this year. So it's an organization running an 8-game losing streak. So something's got to give. It's been pretty frustrating, you know, start to the season. Only because, you know, they're not, you know, the first game they played bad against the Raiders, didn't deserve to win. But the last, you know, two, you know, they've played well at, you know, most of the time in the game. You know, they're just falling short at the end.
But are they tanking for Tua as well?
You remember saying that we drafted a quarterback in the second round, Drew Lock, who is on injured reserve.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, yes. Drew Lock is there, but apparently Lily, the coach, said he would not be starting this year. I think.
Well, you know, right now he's on the, you know, injured for a little bit. You know, really no chance of playing, and no, there's really no other quarterbacks on the roster you really don't want to put out there right now. So we're going to roll with Joe Flacco until probably healthy towards the end of this year.
Other NFL scores, the Patriots defeated the Bills 16-10. Like, the Patriots were looking good, but the Bills just not able to get a win in Buffalo.
Yeah, what a hard-fought game. Great game to watch, you know. Hard for the Western New Yorkers to just run and beat Tom Brady, you know. Extremely physical, hard-fought game that left Josh Allen starting quarterback for the Bills out of this game, you know. In the fourth quarter, quarterback Matt Barkley came in off the bench, gave the Bills a little bit of a spark, but just couldn't put the ball in the end zone. I think this showed how the Bills would come, you know. They forced Brady to look pretty bad, you know. Unfortunately, when you make him look that bad, you didn't have to win the game, and it didn't happen. But I have more faith in the Bills today than I did last week after that game, because I know the offense will get going again. As long as that defense plays as well as they will be in the playoffs this year.
AFC East is still controlled by the Patriots. No one can stop them. The AFC is pretty much, it looks like it's set between the Patriots and the Chiefs, but the NFC is wide open.
Yeah, you know, for sure. NFC has got a lot of good football teams, San Diego. It's hard to figure out. And the week where the Buccaneers score 45 points against the Rams, and Jameis Winston looks like looks like Patrick Mahomes out there throwing touchdown passes. Wow, you know, and then they wouldn't, you know, the Saints don't score a touchdown against the Cowboys, but still win a game. Who's good? Who's not good? You know, the Packers, you know, fall to the Eagles last week. It's hard to figure teams out. I know it's mostly four games, so we still have 75% of the season left. So we'll know more, you know, if it come on as we get towards halfway through the season. But, yeah, as right now, I have no idea what's going to happen in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, is Tampa Bay a 6-8 team, or do you think they might do well after all?
I think they're an 8-8 team. They're just not consistent enough, but, you know, they brought Bruce Arians to do one thing, and that's to change Jameis Winston, you know. And even in the loss to the Giants last week, you know, he had a huge game. So he's had back-to-back really good games to start, in the season so far. If he can, you know, put it together, I just don't see them making a playoff. I mean, as we alluded, there are a lot of good football teams in the NFC, and I still think there'll be a lot of good football teams that don't make the playoffs in the NFC.
And one last one. How did the Raiders beat the Colts 31-24?
Again, the Colts, the Raiders have some talent. And I think, you know, that when they run the ball, Josh Jacobs are that team. You know, they're a balanced team. The Colts, you know, this kind of shows this year, you know, that the Colts have improved their roster, because I think they won every game without Andrew Luck. A couple years ago, even back to the Peyton Manning days, you know, when the quarterback went down, the team suffered. But, you know, they brought in a new GM from the Eagles, who has really just transformed the talent level of the team. They improved the offensive line. They run the ball good with Marlon Mack. You know, T.Y. Hilton's very good. But, you know, they just didn't have a good game Sunday, and the Raiders were able to win the game.
Something to definitely look at for the next couple of weeks. NFL still kicking into gear. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
I know we just talked about the NFL, but I like to kind of go back to college football.
Sure.
You know, and I kind of want to add a little bit more. You know, we talked a lot about the big boys here. I kind of want to talk about, you know, the little kids on the block, the group of five. And, you know, there is a new team in the top 25 that we haven't seen since I've been a baby, Santiago, and that's the SMU Mustangs.
SMU Mustangs. I was going to ask you about that. Have you seen them play this season?
I haven't seen a whole game, but I've seen a lot of bits and pieces of most of their whole games, and that's a fun team to watch. Sonny Dykes, second year head coach, had a lot of success at Louisiana Tech. Son of former Texas Tech coach Skip Dykes, very, very good offensive mind. Came to, you know, back to after kind of failing at, you know, California, other than producing, you know, Jared Goff, who ended up being the number one quarterback in the draft a couple of years ago, but, you know, never was able to get that sustained success. Comes to SMU after Chad Morris took the job with Arkansas. The roster is pretty depleted, you know. And the new thing in college football, and you've got these smaller teams, is that where you can go? You go to the transfer portal. This team is led by a lot of players from former schools, and none more than their quarterback, Shane Bichelle, who used, you know, a couple years ago was a starting quarterback at Texas before Sam Ellinger got there. Their leading receiver, Reggie Roberson, came from West Virginia. They got players from Ivy League schools. You know, starting left guard is from Boston College. Kick returner T.J. Jones, if you know that name, was the leading kick returner for Notre Dame a couple years ago, now almost leading the nation again for SMU. The leading tackler, middle linebacker, is from Texas A&M. So how do you get good quickly? You get players from other schools. You know, these schools and probably aren't playing as much as not. And the quick fix is, you know, is this the same success there that way? No. But you can get yourself good, and then it gives you more time to recruit, you know, your four-year players. I don't know if they're the best Super Five. You know, they're going to definitely compete for the American champion.
Four new teams also with SMU entered into the top 25. We spoke about Wake Forest, also Oklahoma State and Arizona State.
Yeah, Oklahoma State win against Kansas State. You know, Arizona State beating the former undefeated California on Friday night. So, you know, those two teams, Herm Edwards leading Arizona State, you know, they're playing solid football. You know, they're not explosive on offense. You know, they play good defense. They run the ball. And they kind of play an NFL style of football. which is not uncharacteristic if you know Herm Edwards. And then Oklahoma State, behind the running back Chuba Howard, it has really turned. You know, this team used to be more of an air attack, but, you know, with Hubbard, you know, they're really killing it on the ground and got a big victory over Kansas State, which put them in the top 25. On each week, from now on, I'd like to give my top five non-power five schools of the week. Is that okay, Santiago?
What was that?
I'm going to give you my top five non-Power 5 teams.
Go for it.
I'll start with UCF. This is the number one team. Obviously, you know, they're not undefeated anymore. They have a huge winning streak snapped a couple weeks ago, but got back on track with a big victory against UConn this week. And then we talked about SMU undefeated, you know, with victories over, you know, TCU and USF this year. I like them at number two. Appalachian State, you know, a game we've talked about in the past as being a really good football team. You know, in the week where, you know, Clemson barely beat North Carolina 2 weeks ago, Appalachian State went to North Carolina and they pretty much manhandled North Carolina for the whole game. And then we've got, you know, Boise State and number four team that beat Florida State early on this year. And victories also over Air Force and Marshall. And to round out the top five, I got Memphis under Mike Norvell, a very, good team. They run the ball well. They beat Navy this week, which I think is a very good team. And my group of five game of the week would be UCF versus Cincinnati on Friday night,
which we have in game prediction. So name, okay, one more time, your top five non-Power 5 conference.
We got UCF, SMU.
Appalachian State.
Appalachian State.
Boise State.
Boise State.
And Memphis.
And Memphis.
Okay, I'm going to write that down so I can put it on the website. So if anyone wants to see it and Ryan wants to add on to that article, I'll add that on. But anyways, let's get into game predictions. The first game, which he mentioned already, UCF Cincinnati.
Very important game in the American. Cincinnati, beat UCLA earlier this year. Also got Kirk sent by Ohio State, but who is on that list sent by Ohio State this year? I think UCF really is a very good team. I think Dylan Gabriel is a great quarterback. I'm going to just say UCF by two scores this week.
UCF. Oklahoma State at Texas Tech.
Texas Tech has had a rough couple weeks. It was Arizona State, and then, they got blasted on the road last week in Norman against, Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma. So I'm going to say Oklahoma State, like we said, they're back in the top 25 playing good football. So I'm going to say they're going to win pretty easily, I think, against Texas Tech.
Texas at the Mountaineers.
West Virginia is not that good of a football team. They've struggled a lot this year, and I think Texas, dominates from start to finish.
Northwestern and Nebraska.
Nebraska, we had high expectations for this team. They're early to Colorado, and they got, again, curb stamped by Ohio State, but Ohio State's a very good team. Northwestern has struggled all year, but I think Nebraska's back on track with the victory this week.
Nebraska pulls the win. Iowa at Michigan.
I just think this is a huge thing this week that no one's really talking about. Iowa undefeated. Nate Stanley, Michigan, hasn't been great this year. Got killed a couple weeks ago at Wisconsin. But this game is, big for both teams. Michigan's trying to save their season. Iowa's trying to make a claim the only way this conference. And, maybe being a dark horse for the playoffs. But I'm going to say Iowa wins the game. I think they're just a better football team.
Wow. Is that an upset?
It's
not really, because Iowa's ranked higher, but
I mean, we know Michigan's got more talent than Santiago, and I think anybody will say that. Who knows?
Wow, that's not good for Harbaugh, though. They're just not good for Harbaugh.
No, it's not a good look for Santiago. I think he's wearing his welcome very quickly in Ann Arbor.
Auburn at Florida.
We thought about this game to start the podcast. I love my Gators, and I'm going to go with my heart. I'm going to say Florida wins by probably a field goal at the end.
Wow, Florida wins. That's a huge win if they do.
Huge win, Santiago.
That is a huge – I mean, they got to win to stay because they go to LSU next week. They ain't going to be easy. That's going to the Lions' den. NFL football, Rams at the Seahawks.
What a great way to start our week off. Thursday night, Santiago. Classic NFC battle, NFC West battle. Rams lost last week. I think they're going to get back on track with a victory in Seattle.
Rams win. A comment from YouTube says he thinks Auburn will win by 17.
It wouldn't surprise me, Santiago. I guess I do have a lot. I think there's a lot more questions about Florida than there is Auburn. I think Florida hasn't played up to their potential, and I think Auburn has this year. If Auburn plays up to their potential, Florida plays up to their potential, and the crowd isn't as big a factor, I think Auburn will win. I don't know if it's going to be 17, but
a little too much, but if they do, that shows their force.
If they win by 17, Santiago, they should be in the top three.
Wow. And that could prove Brady Quinn's argument that three SEC teams belong in the top four. Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers, a Steelers team that beat Cincinnati, but a very weak Cincinnati. This is a rivalry.
Huge rivalry game, Santiago. Steelers got back on track on Sunday night, like you said, against a very defeated Bengals team. You know, kind of a sad Monday night football game. It's for sure to watch, but if the Steelers wanted to, you know, be for real, then they got to win this game on Sunday. So, but I'm going to pick the Ravens to win the game tonight.
Lamar Jackson wins in Pittsburgh. Green Bay at the Dallas Cowboys, a place where Aaron Rodgers typically wins.
There's one thing the Packers have struggled with this year, and that's stop and run. And when the Cowboys can't run the ball, they are not that good of a team. I don't think Dak can do it all in his arm every week. You know, it can have a game or two. I think first week against the Giants threw for almost 400 yards. But when they're balanced, and they couldn't be balanced because they couldn't run the ball Sunday night, and it showed against the Saints. But the Packers have had zero luck trying to stop the run this year, even though they're at the 3-1 record. I think that the Cowboys win this game.
Denver Broncos at the L.A. Chargers.
You know my heart, Santiago. You know I can't pick against the Broncos. I'm going to say the Broncos are going to win.
Their first win.
I don't think it's... Yes.
So you're picking the Broncos?
Yes.
All right. That's probably by a field goal. Same for Florida. Win by a field goal. Champions League, Barcelona at Inter Milan.
Oh.
That's in a few minutes.
I'm going to go Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Did you see what happened to Tottenham yesterday?
Yeah, they got pummeled 7-2, so hopefully that does not occur.
Not a good look for the EPL.
Not good. Major League Baseball playoff wild card, Tampa Bay at Oakland.
Small market battle tonight for the wild card in the American League. It's in Oakland, so I'm going to go with the A's to win tonight.
Oakland A's win tonight. And random question, who is your favorite Joker from the Batman? I got Cesar Romero, Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Jared Leto, even though you probably have not seen the movie, Joaquin Phoenix, according from the trailers.
I'm going to say Heath Ledger because that's the only one I can remember. I'm not a big superhero fan, Santiago.
And there you have it. Ryan Krista, how can people reach you to talk to you about Joe Flacco?
Probably. And maybe Tom Flacco if you're a Townsend Tiger fan. But you're the Mad Dog Report on Twitter. That's probably the best way.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We have a show every day. Tomorrow we have Justin Riley bringing on some Bama news and some SEC news. Bama has a bye week this week, so he's going to talk a little bit more about Florida probably. And, of course, on Friday we have Jeff Farrer. Kyle, we should bring him on this week because the Major League Baseball playoffs begin this week already, so we'll definitely see what happens. And you fans, leave a comment. Like Choose 5-2. He says, found y'all while avoiding work, trying to watch, read everything about this game in the swamp. Y'all do any more preview of the game? Yes, we'll have a preview tomorrow with Justin Riley because Alabama ain't playing this week.
Yeah, Justin Riley knows all things. Knows all things SEC and Alabama lover. Will have great insight on the Auburn Tigers, I think.
Exactly, Auburn Tigers is in Alabama. A team that people are wondering, what are they? I know. I mean, if Florida or Auburn win, I don't know. I mean, what happens? I mean, do they move up a spot, or do they move all the way to the fifth, sixth spot? I mean, what can happen?
I mean, you kind of got a log jam up front. You're not going to see a lot of movement because I don't see a lot of the top teams losing until the top teams lose, you know. You might shuffle a spot here or there, but it's a crowded party. But we talked about there's a lot of SEC games coming up this year. You know, the bulk of the big games are still yet to be played in October and November. So there'll be some movement. There'll be upset. Until then, you know, you're not going to see a lot of big games, the top six or seven teams. Because those teams are playing well, Santiago, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia.
Even Wisconsin.
Ooh. that's you know, that we talked a little bit about Iowa, you know, being undefeated from the Big Ten West, but Wisconsin is. They can run that ball. You know, they looked a little shaky last week against Northwestern, but I think they were just still coming off that high of, you know, that Michigan game a week ago. But
just looking at that,
Jonathan Taylor is definitely an outside candidate for the Heisman, sure.
CFP rankings would move either way up with the win, but the AP still weighs in the previous year too much. That's correct. Tyler Turner did mention that on Monday about how the AP kind of reflects from last year. And that's why we see Clemson as number two. I'm really curious what happens, what the playoff committee will think about Clemson in November.
You know, unless they improve, and I'm sure they're going to improve, San Diego, I'm sure they are. But things don't change, and those other teams are still playing well. I could see them being ranked fifth or sixth when that first playoff ranking comes out.
Anyways, Choose 5-2. Please subscribe to our channel here on the, via YouTube, the Sportscast channel. So, hit subscribe. And if you follow things on Periscope, we're on Periscope as well at the Sportscast. And also via Facebook as well. Like our page. And also go to thesportscast.net. All the links are there. Anyways, really excited about this weekend. Big games.
Santiago, you will actually find me this weekend. You will not find me in front of the TV at 3:30. And you will find me in Annapolis, Maryland for the Navy Midshipmen versus the Air Force Falcons at 3:30. So I will be watching the Florida game on the DVR later on that day.
But exciting.
I will be taking in some America's favorite football teams this week.
We'll make sure Justin will be live tweeting it if you want to follow it on Twitter. Of course, I think Justin will probably be open it. Anyways, that's it for the Sportscast. War Eagle.
Go Gators, Santiago.